Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, New Testament, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. You get to Philippians, you went too far. Ephesians 2. And while you're turning there, I'll ask you a question that you can try and turn and think at the same time. You can multitask. Is the Bible relevant to what is happening in 2023? All right, I want to show you that today. The prayer is that you'll see very clearly some things happening right now or things that happened in the last week or two that go right along with what we are about to read about. So let's go to Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 6. We will pray and then we'll ask the Lord to help us as we go through this. Ephesians 2, verse 1. This is written to save people. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So if you are saved, that is an account of what you were before you got saved, and what you are now since you've been saved. What were you? Give me the first verse there. Let's see if you can just take a look at verse 1. What were you? You were dead in trespasses and sins. According to verse 1, what are you? I heard somebody in the back say, it starts with a Q. You are quickened. That's a good Bible word. It means you are given life, and you'll never lose that life. That's eternal life. And then it goes on to tell you some things that you used to be, and then some things that you are. I'm going to get off in the wrong direction here. I'm going to preach on salvation here. Maybe I should. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. If that is just historical fact to you, then you probably aren't saved. If that is something that you are depending on to go to heaven, and you know that you don't deserve heaven, it's all about what Jesus Christ did for you, and you called on Him to save you because of what He did for you, then you have salvation. You have eternal life. You have forgiveness, amen? That's not the message, but I have to put that in there, right? Nothing wrong with putting it in there. It should be said often from the pulpit. So let's ask the Lord to help us here this morning. We will, Lord willing, go through some things here that will help you in discerning and assessing what's happening in our world now and what is to come. So let's ask the Lord to help us here. Thank you, Lord, for your words, as they always are exactly what we need. And we know that you made our hearts to be the place where your words are placed. I pray that there would be a welcome in our hearts to what you have for us from your word today. I pray for discernment during this time we're living in. May we see things through heavenly lenses today through your word. May you point out things to us that we need to see as individuals and even as a church to keep us on the narrow path, the path following you according to your word and following right behind the Lord Jesus Christ. May you guide us and lead us today. We ask for your Holy Spirit to put light on the Scriptures today. And we just pray for work to be done in all of our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Little history lesson, but I'm not going that far back. February of 2020. You remember anything about February 2020? Now, I know that it was actually before February, but in February, we really found out a lot about an airborne pathogen, emphasis on air, airborne pathogen. If you don't know what the pathogen is, it's anything that causes a disease. Could be a little microscopic bacteria or virus. Airborne pathogen began to take an effect on the whole world. This pathogen was associated with a virus that was eventually given the name COVID-19. Do you remember before it was given the name, we just called it coronavirus? I kind of like that better than COVID-19. COVID-19 has a deadly sound to it for some reason to me. But anyway, that's what we're calling it. The origins of this virus are unknown. quotation marks. But signs seem to point to the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China. Now, if I'm ifing this, so hypothetically, if the virus originated in a laboratory, that means in order for it to eventually make its way around the world, it had to travel through the air. Now you're thinking, well, don't people get the virus? Yes, and then they travel, and then they breathe, and without even knowing it, what's happening? Airborne pathogens are spread. And COVID is a respiratory infection, meaning that its means of traveling is through the air and taken in through the mouth and the nose. So that was 3 years ago. And then, you know, in March of 2020, that's when the whole world flipped on its head as a result of this. Isn't it interesting? It's all a result of a little tiny thing that we can't even see. You ever consider that? A little microscopic thing that we can't see. The whole world was in fear of a little tiny microscopic thing that is not seen by the naked eye. They were scared of that. I got to stop right here. Who should you fear? Help me out. Who should you fear? The Lord. Now, you can't see the Lord, and Christians take a lot of heat because, well, you can't see the Lord. How can you fear Him? Come on, folks. People all over the world were fearful of something they couldn't see. I don't think it's all that unusual to fear the Lord, even though I've not physically seen Him. I see Him through the Word of God, and we'll get to that here in a minute. Now, since February 2020, there's been a lot of things happen, but I want to just kind of focus on, today's the 19th of February, I want to focus on just the month of February, something about February 2023. I'm going to just mention a few unusual things that have happened. First of all, and again, this is what the news tells, so you know the source may or may not be accurate, but we are told a Chinese-operated high-altitude balloon made its way into the airspace of Canada and the United States before finally being shot down off the coast of South Carolina. That was here recently, right? Whether the origins are what they tell us, we probably never know. But then it wasn't very long after that. This one was not as big in the news, but it was out there. Separate events. A U.S. Air Force F-22 fighter jet shot down an unidentified cylindrical object over Canadian airspace. Y'all hear about this? Basically, they reported in the news agencies that reported it, they basically said, yeah, we shot down a UFO. Without saying UFO, that's essentially what they were doing. And then, this is even more recent in the news, just in February alone, there have been half a dozen train derailments in the United States. Now, you might be thinking, okay, the virus, that's the air, the balloon, and this unidentified cylindrical object, that's the air, but what about the train derailments? That's got nothing to do with the air. Actually, hold on. It actually does. In the derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, there were several industrial chemicals that were carried. And if a train derails carrying chemicals, where do those chemicals end up if there's a serious crash? They are airborne. I'll just give you a few. I have all this information on these chemicals. You can look them up on your own. But you had some very dangerous chemicals. Vinyl chloride, isobutylene, butyl acrylate, benzene, ethyl hexyl acrylate. A lot of these are used in the manufacture of paints and plastics. They're highly flammable and can cause cancer. And here they have been released into the air. So when those things make their way into the air, they have their way of eventually possibly making their way into the human body or the bodies of animals, correct? So I found it interesting looking at just in February of this year, going back to February 2020, there's a lot of activity in our world that's having a great impact that has some association with the air, things in the air, airborne. So take a look at what we just read again in Ephesians 2, verse 2. Just take a look at verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of... That's interesting. The air. Now, you want to notice the connection with the next phrase. The prince of the power of the air, the... Next word. Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Okay? The prince of the power of the air is the devil. Notice that that title given to him, there's also a spirit associated with it. Prince of the power of the air and a spirit. And just here in the last, I think, 10 or 11 days, in Asbury, Kentucky, there has been a great, what's been called a great movement of the spirit. Now, I'm not going to say that I know for certain that something spiritual is not taking place. I just am not for certain if it's the Holy Spirit at work or not. I've not been there, and I don't know for certain. I just want to point you to verse 2 again. The devil is associated with a spirit at work in this age. And if the devil is associated with a spirit at work now, that spirit would certainly not be the Holy Spirit. It would be against the Holy Spirit. Agreed? The devil being in opposition to God. Notice also in verse 2, this prince of the power of the air is associated with the course of, what do you see there? The course of this world. I might note, the world has a course that it is following. And without saying a whole lot about this, this course is carefully planned. And who is the leader of this course? It would be Satan himself, being the prince of the power of the air. So I will just say, be careful about immediately assuming that spiritual movements are of God, because look what else could be going on. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. Look what else could happen. Knowing that title given to Satan in Ephesians 2, rather, go to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, Satan called the prince of the power of the air, and there's another title given to him over here in 2 Corinthians 4. Look at verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4, 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, you got a little G there hopefully, the God of this world, didn't we see the course of this world in Ephesians? The course of this world is under the control of the God of this world, the devil. Notice his work in verse 4. Hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the devil is in the blinding business, and he wants people to be spiritually in the dark and stay there. So all that introduction to say, folks, there's something going on in the air. There's something happening in the air that affects activity down here on the ground. And the things happening in the air, I know there's some physical things I mentioned, but there is a spiritual agenda at work right now. So hopefully you'll get a little insight into this spiritual agenda. Before we get into the main points, I want to take you one more place. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, just a few pages to your right. 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. Go to Ephesians 6. Something else about the air here. Go to verse 12. Actually, look at verse 11 and then verse 12. Ephesians 6:11. This is the armor of God. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. Now watch the last part. Against spiritual wickedness. And where is that spiritual wickedness? You mean to say in the air? It makes perfect sense. If the devil is, and the Bible says he's the prince of the power of the air, we are told that there's spiritual wickedness in high places. Trying to show you, and I'll show you some specific instances this morning, what goes on up there ultimately affects what takes place down here. What goes on in the air affects down here. And I want to just change gears here. When I say what goes on up there, I'm talking about spiritually something going on in the air that affects both spiritually and physically what happens down here. So let me show you an example of this. First point, spirits in the air. You could say spirits at work in the air. Go back to the Old Testament book of Daniel chapter 10. So I'm going to say something and I want to make sure that I give you specific examples of this. Spirits in the air. Daniel chapter 10. spirits at work in the air, and you could even see at war. Actually, I'll make that our second point. Let's just talk about spirits being in the air. Look at Daniel chapter 10 and go down to verse 10. If you know much about Daniel, you know that this is a prophetic book. The book of Revelation and the book of Daniel actually go hand in hand. There's some really neat connections there. This is a chapter in Daniel where Daniel has been praying. He's been fasting. And as a result, something very unusual but spiritual happens. Verse 10. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, the man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from... this is very, very telling here. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Okay, so let me stop here. Daniel had been praying for some understanding of some things that the Lord had told him. This particular individual that is sent to him, guess where this individual is from? Anybody want to guess? From heaven. And you'll see why I say that here in a minute. And look what happened when this individual was sent from God, from heaven, to help Daniel understand. Look at verse 13. So this individual is sent, verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for how long? So here's the thing, folks. You want to make sure you get this. I'll read the rest of the verse in a minute. Daniel's prayer resulted in a heavenly messenger being sent to Daniel to give him some help in understanding what God had told him. But on his way from up there, from God sending him from heaven all the way down here to earth, what happened? He was interrupted. He was stopped. And it says there, the individual that stopped him, spiritual entity called, do you see it? The prince of the kingdom of Persia. How long did that prince of Persia hold him up? 21 days. Now, I just got to tell you, your prayers matter. Daniel's prayer resulted in a heavenly messenger being sent down here to give him some help and understanding. I know that this does not always happen when we pray, but I do know this, and you folks that have been here for a while know this. You need to pray for spiritual things. You need to pray for physical things. God answers, doesn't He? Right here and among this group right here, you know God answers prayer. It's a pretty awesome thing to know that God way up there hears you and answers you. In this case, God sends a messenger to help Daniel. The messenger reaches Daniel, but he's held up for 21 days. So you know what's happening up there? War is happening up there. There are spirits up there in the air that try to prevent God's work being accomplished down here. And if these spirits are trying to stop God's work, who must they be associated with? They must be associated with Satan. Okay, let's see what happens here. Middle of verse 13, he says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, but lo, who shows up? Michael. Who's Michael in your Bible? The archangel. Michael shows up, and it says, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings. Notice it's kings also of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. All right, so Daniel's prayer is answered, but I just show you that in the process of his prayer being answered, there's a war going on up there, and it's a spiritual war, telling me there are spirits at work to stop this heavenly messenger from reaching Daniel. Now, folks, I don't want to get in the business of telling you what these spirits are doing and when they're working. I don't know. And I think when you start dabbling that, it's very dangerous. I'm going to leave it at what I know for certain from the Bible. They exist. These spirits, they are real. And they are out to stop the work of God's Holy Spirit. Can we agree on that at least? That's about all I can say for certain from this. All right, now go down to verse 18. Verse 18, you see a little bit more here. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And by the way, you know that in your Bible, when angels show up, what do they look like to people? to humans. They look like men. So that's very likely what's happening here. And he said, verse 19, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he spoke unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. Okay, we already saw him, but watch this. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of who? Grecia shall come, which is really neat because at this time in history, you had world powers at work. You had the Babylonians, then the Persians, and then who followed the Persians? Grecians. And at this point in history, the Grecians were not a world power. But the prince of Grecia was already working up there. Because not long after this, many years passed after this, and the prince of Grecia being work ahead of time up there, what happened down here on earth? Greece became a world power. I say all that to tell us, we need to be mindful of this. What goes on up there spiritually affects politically, you hear that? Politically and spiritually, things happening down here. Consider, who rules nations? Politicians, whether it be presidents or kings or what have you, prime ministers. But it sure does seem that there's a great influence on every world leader, and that influence on every world leader would be a spiritual being at work up there. You don't have to think very long to consider some of the things that have come out of leaders of the United States' mouths to know that there is a strange spirit at work. I would say strange. I would say unclean. I would say evil. I would say a spirit of confusion and fear as well, coming out of the mouths of leaders here in our own nation. Guess who's influencing, folks? There's heavenly influences. Now, I don't mean where God dwells. I'm talking about in the heavens, out there in the atmosphere and in outer space, at work. There are spirits at work to affect things down here on the ground. So there's spirits in the air. Now, watch this next thing. Go over to 1 John. I mentioned in Sunday school would be over here. Spirits in the air. There's spirits in the air, and there's war in heaven as well. War in heaven. I'll show you that here in a minute. 1 John chapter 4. Spiritual war up there in the heavens. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 1. First few verses here, 1 John 4. Beloved, believe not every what? Spirit. Now, I'll leave this for you to study it on your own. It's a really interesting study. The connection in your Bible between spirits and words. If you're in Sunday school, we made the connection, according to the Bible, between God's Spirit and, help me out, Sunday school folks, the Word of God. They go hand in hand. So you can believe that for a spirit to do work, a spirit of any kind, some way, shape, or form, words will be associated with that spirit. You know what words can do? Words can stir people up, can't they? For good or for evil. Sure can. You ever say to somebody, them's fighting words. You ever say that? Isn't that something? Somebody's words can cause you to, let's go, man. I disagree with you. Let's fight about it, whether it be a verbal or a physical fight. But words are powerful. And words are directly connected with spirits. And I got to tell you, Sunday school, we've said this, but I'll say it again. Be discerning and try the spirits. Every spirit is not the Holy Spirit. Sometimes spiritual leaders will say, this is the Holy Spirit at work, and it's not. So how do you tell? Let's go on here. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. What do prophets do, folks? Prophets talk. Prophets speak words. And they're associated with spirits. Look at verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So you know what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit at work is going to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and His work and His person. Amen? An unclean spirit will not do that. Look at verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of who? Oh, you better watch out. That spirit of Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Oh, okay, I have a date in my Bible here. I don't know if it's accurate to a T, but it's got to be probably close. This was written around 90 A.D. So in 90 A.D., guess what was already at work in the world? Help me out. The spirit of Antichrist. What year is it? 2023. So we're 1,940 years past that. So that tells me that the spirit of Antichrist has been at work for a long time. Can we just leave it at that? And that means that the spirit of Antichrist is at work at this very moment. Okay, so I don't tell you that to scare you. I'll give you some help so you can not be afraid. But let's continue. Verse 4. Here's help right here. Ye are of God, little children. This is people that are saved. And have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is where? In the world. That's reason not to fear right there. Is Jesus Christ more powerful than any unclean spirit? Amen. You know what Jesus Christ did to the unclean spirits when he was here? He got them out of people. He's more powerful. You know what the devils did? They said, oh, no, don't torment us, Jesus. They knew who he was. They knew they had it coming. They recognized him for who he is. We should do the same and understand that Jesus Christ is greater than them. Now look at verse 5. A couple more verses here. I think that will help us out. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of... Folks, real short little sermonette. Spirit of truth associated with God's truth found in His Word. Spirit of error, anything added to, taken away, or changed from God's Word. You better be careful. There's an attack on the truth, and that would be another spirit, not the Holy Spirit, who attacks the truth and tries to correct the Bible. Could say a lot more about that, but we've said that in the past, so leave it for them. There are a lot of spirits out there, and these spirits would be associated with the prince of the power of the air. Here's a few. Evil spirits, unclean spirits, spirit of divination, familiar spirit, spirit of a beast, spirit of this world, spirit of whoredoms, spirit of bondage, spirit of slumber, spirit of error, spirit of Antichrist, by the spirit of error there. And it is obvious that there are opposing spirits at work in our world right now. They all oppose, isn't that interesting? All of those, and I could say a whole lot more from the Bible, different spirits, they all oppose one particular spirit. What spirit is that? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. One on 100 or one on 1,000, the one, the Holy Spirit of God, is greater and stronger and more powerful. Amen? So you better make sure you're on the Lord's side. And if you are saved, this Holy Spirit is greater than all those and lives in you. Isn't that a great thing? So there's spirits in the air and there's war in the air. Let's go over to this last thing, Revelation 12. I want to try to put this together. And I was hoping I'd get through those points fairly quick so we could spend most of our time on this last one. Revelation 12. There's spirits in the air. There is war going on in the air. Now, last point here. If there are spirits in the air, and they are at work, and there is war, spiritual warfare going on up there, the book of Daniel is proof that the spiritual warfare that occurs up there will eventually affect what goes on down here on the ground. So the last point I have, spirits and war down here on the ground. So we started spirits in the air. We had war in the air. Now let's transition spirits and war on the ground. Show you how this works according to the Bible. And make sure you see the Bible on this. Don't take my word for it. Look at Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was war where? Michael, hey, there he is again. And his angels fought against who? the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now, watch this next verse. I personally believe that this is prophetic. It has not happened yet, and I'll explain why, but let's read the verse first. Verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out. Who's the dragon? That old serpent called the devil and Satan. There's no doubt is his identity. That verse tells it very plainly. The old called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. That's his work, deception. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Watch. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accursed them before our God day and night. Going down to verse 12. And this is why I say, I don't think this has happened yet. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great what? You want to note that. Having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath, but how long? Folks, we saw in Ephesians 2 to start, the devil's domain right now is the air. What we just read indicates there will be a time when he is cast out and his domain now becomes, help me out, the earth. So I happen to think, and it's okay for me to think this and you to think this because the Apostle Paul did the same and he lived a long time before you and I did. I happen to think that we're really close to this time that we just read about occurring. And it would be just like the devil if he's soon to come to the earth. And that's a time called the Great Tribulation. That's a time where he will actually be given a time to do his work. He's given that time by God to do his work down here and deceive the whole world. It makes sense that if that is really close on the timetable, that the devil would be at work right now preparing people for this time to come. Would you agree? And he's been doing it for a long time, but it sure does appear that there's a lot of spiritual work happening now. I want to make sure that we understand what is of God and what is not of God. So if you take a look at the verse that we saw there, I want to read verse 12 again. It says, rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil hath come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He's given, at most, 7 years to do his work down here during the Great Tribulation. So let me just show you a couple things about that, and then we'll wrap up on a, for lack of a better term, a high note, which will be good. Has to do with the air. But let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. I'll show you some things here that are connected with the work of Satan on earth during the Great Tribulation. Okay, look at verse 1, Matthew 24. This is the great chapter on the second coming of Christ, but also a whole lot about the tribulation here. Verse 1, Jesus went out, departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. He prophesied about the destruction of the temple there. And then verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Okay, that's a great question, by the way. I'm so glad that the disciples asked that question. Signs, and you know that signs are something that Jews look for. But the Lord answers the question very clearly. So what we're about to read are things associated with the work of Satan in the Great Tribulation. Timetable. If this wall to here, the wall here to the edge of the pulpit is the church age. I've showed you this before. If this is the church age, the end of the church age is signified by the rapture of the church. And then you have this period here called the Great Tribulation. And this is where the devil is able to do a whole lot down here concerning deception of the whole world on earth. And then, you know, at the end of the tribulation, what happens to the devil, folks? He's defeated by Jesus Christ coming down here. And from here to the wall, that's the 1,000-year earthly reign of Jesus Christ. So that's a little timetable. So I've said this before. I hope we're like right here. So the church age started over there at the wall. If we're right here, this is the rapture. So I hope we're like, I can put my hand as close as I can without touching. I hope we're right there. So these are some things that will occur right after the rapture. Meaning that if we are right here, the things that he's going to read about are things that will occur on earth during this great tribulation. I'm just going to read it a little bit here, just for time's sake. I'll let you take a look at more of this later on. But he says, verse 4, the first thing the Lord says, you want to note this, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man do what? A warning about deception. What did you see in Revelation 12 about the devil? What's he out to do? Deceive the whole world. Verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying I am Christ, and shall do what? Watch out, deceive many, and ye shall hear of, oh man, hold on a second, China, United States, Russia, Ukraine, interesting how all these things seem to be brewing. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be, this is very important here, see that ye be not what? Amen. And if you know the Lord, you got no reason to worry. Be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Some of that's already going on in certain places around the world. All these are the beginning of sorrows. All right, and he tells you some more there, and some specific things to the Jew in the tribulation. But I would like to go down there to verse 44. And there's actually a double application here that we will take a look at and end on. Look at verse 44. Therefore, be ye also, what's the word? Ready. I need to read that again. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. All right? Warnings against deception in the last days. Folks, you better make sure you get to know the Lord and you're really close to the Lord, and you get to know the Lord close by reading His Word and talking to Him. You better make sure that you do that so you stay away from deception and so that you stay always ready. Double application from that verse. If you're saved, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ought to be ready for the rapture. Okay, over here at the end of the tribulation, there's going to be folks in the tribulation that get to know the Lord during the tribulation. And they also need to be ready because the Lord's not just appearing in the clouds. He's coming down from the clouds at the end of the tribulation. I know that gets pretty deep, but just to give you a little overview, realize verse 44, that's a great warning for us today. Be ye also ready. I'll tell you another warning back a few verses. Look at verse 42. What's the first word? Watch. The whole message we could give on that. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. The Lord told the disciples, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Folks, there's a great need right now. As much and more than ever, there's a great need right now for Bible-believing Christians to stay in the Word of God, keep your nose in the book, and keep praying. And the reason I say this is because there's a great work of deception taking place right before our eyes right now. And I would love to tell you that our Bible-believing brethren are all just going down the right path. But that'd be a lie. We've got a lot of folks that are going astray because they're departing from God's Word. Make sure you stay grounded in God's Word, particularly in these last days. Okay, now, I said that we would end up on a high note here. So, started off talking about the air and some strange occurrences in the air. And by the way, I didn't even mention, where do you live? You live on the space coast? What are we doing right now more than ever? Sending rockets into More and more and more. There are more satellites. How do these satellites not crash into each other up there? There's so many of them. There are so many things floating around up in the air right now, aren't they? It's amazing. There's a concern by our own government and people that are way smarter than I, rocket scientists. There's some concern about what is happening in the air. Now, all that to end on a great place here. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4. You better be concerned about something that's to come in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I said that here we are in the church age. Hopefully we're getting towards the end of the church age. And by the way, the church age, if you study the churches of Revelation, the last church is the Laodicean church. And it is the lukewarm church. And there's a great indication, if you study those churches, that at the end of the church age, the church of Jesus Christ will be a mess. Let me just give you some specifics. The church of Jesus Christ will say, look at all the riches we have with big buildings and nice chandeliers inside those buildings and TVs and all kinds of stuff inside those buildings to make everybody nice and comfortable. And the Bible says over there about that church of Laodicea, actually, you're not rich, you're as poor as can be. And it's a spiritual thing. You can be physically rich and spiritually poor. Did you know that? Don't have to be, but you certainly can be. Wouldn't you rather have spiritual blessings and spiritual riches instead of all the physical ones? I didn't read the verse in Matthew 24. The Lord Himself says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but you know what won't pass away? My words shall not pass away. So stick to the thing that is, you realize this is indestructible. You can't get rid of it. The entire earth will burn up one day. And God's word is just fine. Amen? You want to make an investment when it comes to something that gives you payback for all eternity? This is where you ought to invest. Invest in God's word. That's the way, personally and in the lives of other people. Two things on this earth. I know that this has been mentioned before, but there's two things on this earth that last forever. God's word and the souls of men. What an investment to make. You personally, with this book, with God's word, and you personally taking this book to souls who need God's word, who need Jesus Christ. Greatest investment of your life. Have you checked your 401k lately? It's probably in the tank. Don't check it. I got used to not checking mine because it's always depressing to look at it. This is an eternal investment that pays off. Promised payoff, I might add. Not I might get paid off. You will get paid off. Who you get paid off by? The Lord Himself. Amen? He's going to keep His promises. All right. 1 Thessalonians 4. Here's a great place to end this morning. Concerning things occurring in the air. And I'll just end with, you better be looking up. Verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You know what that verse tells me? People who are saved will one day, people who are saved that are now dead in the grave, will one day pop out of the grave. That's what the verse says. And it's not science fiction. It's Bible. Isn't that something? You can think of somebody right now that is in the ground, they've been buried, that was saved. Can you think of somebody right now? We've had people that used to be in this church in the last year. We've had several that are now not with us. They've been buried, but they were saved. Guess what's going to happen? Charles and Sue used to sit up right up here. You know what's going to happen to them? They're going to pop up. And they're not going to look like they did when we last saw them. They're going to have glorified bodies. Isn't that something? And anybody else who's saved that did not die, here we go. Let's read the next verse. Verse 17. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be what? Caught up. You mean like up in the air? Oh yeah, it says so. Up, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Where's this meeting? To meet the Lord in the air. So shall we, love this part of the verse. So shall we ever be with who? The Lord. Okay, you know what the verse is telling us? There's coming a day where Jesus Christ will appear in the air. And if you know Him as your Savior, you will go from down here, whether dead or alive, you will go from down here and you will meet Him up there in the air. It's pretty neat. You ever look at the clouds and just think about how neat the clouds are? They're fascinating. Shapes of clouds and all that kind of stuff. You're actually going to go up there, and you don't need any kind of motorized vehicle like an airplane or hang glider or anything like that to make it. The power of the Lord will draw you up to meet Him in the air. Isn't that something? You think that's more powerful than any SpaceX rocket? I mean, that's only one rocket, and they got to spend billions of dollars to get that thing off the ground. The Lord just says, come up hither! And every saved person down here on earth goes, whoop! Just like that. Isn't that something? Now, the last verse, I have to read it. Verse 18, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hey, I know that the world is a mess. I know it's easy to get discouraged. And it's easy to become fearful when you focus on all the nonsense of the world. But you know what will drive out that fear? And by the way, you're not given the spirit of fear, 1 Timothy 1:7, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know how you drive that out? You read verses like those. And you say, Lord, keep my focus up there instead of down here. Colossians commands us, set your affections on... Help me out. Things above, not on things of the earth. Why did the Lord tell us that? Because things of the earth are stinking, depressing. And I say stinking on purpose. It stinks down here sometimes, doesn't it? It stinks down here all the time when it comes to spiritual things. Get your eyes up there. Now, here's the solution here. Here's the solution. If you don't know Jesus Christ at this very moment, folks, don't put off trusting Him as your Savior today. You don't know when your last breath will be breathed. You don't know. It's as simple as ABC. Quickly, admit that you are a sinner. You deserve hell. God's wrath is upon you right now if you're not saved. John chapter 3, verse 36. Okay, you don't have to stay that way. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried and He rose again. If you'll believe that He did that for you, and here's the letter C, call upon Him to save you today. Just like that, what can happen? You can be passed from death to life. You can go from being spiritually dead in trespasses and sins to having eternal life. Amen to that. Now, I know I'm talking to a lot of folks, and I don't know everybody here spiritually, only you and the Lord know, but I know that there could be folks here that, for whatever reason, you're spiritually not where you should be right now. Maybe you got some besetting sin that's just keep dragging you down. Maybe it's been weeks or months or maybe even longer than that, years, since you've actually spent quality time reading God's Word. Quality time on your knees praying. Maybe you need to just make a commitment. Lord, I'm going to make sure every day you give me from here on out, I'm going to spend quality time in my Bible, and I'm going to spend quality time talking to you about my needs and people's needs in the church, people I know that need to be saved. You're going to make an effort to say, I'm going to make time out of my day to pray for whatever it is that I need to pray about. Here's a third thing. I mentioned getting in God's Word. I mentioned praying. You ought to also have a talk with folks that you know. There's some things that you can do that maybe you haven't been doing. How about today you make things fresh? How about a little revival personally of you just committing to the Lord that you're going to do some things different so that He gets glory and He's pleased with you? So all those things. Hey, we need a revival. I would agree with that. We need a revival of people knowing the Lord as He truly is according to His Word. So take some time today to pray. Take some time today to read God's Word. Take some time today to open your mouth and tell somebody about what Jesus Christ did for you. There's a battle, and it's a spiritual one. It goes on up there. But your prayers down here and your time spent with the Lord down here, I can't explain it. I just know it's true. It affects what goes on up there. Isn't that something? So let's make sure we're doing our part. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask for You to do a work in our hearts that has to be attributed to only you and the work of your Holy Spirit and your Word. I pray that folks today would just be honest with you. Help all of us to be honest with where we are spiritually. May we be inclined today to deal with you concerning spiritual matters. And if it's salvation, I pray that that would be something that's not put off. If it's just making a commitment to do some things different in our Christian lives, I pray that that would be something not put off either, but we dealt with today. And we just pray for a movement of your Holy Spirit on our hearts. Help us to respond and not just remain stagnant, but to truly respond and be moved by you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.